Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
No church or Bible study allowed by court order. We're going to be talking about this case that I just argued at the Maine Supreme Court on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, Matt, this is a really unusual situation. We don't typically take custody cases at Liberty Counsel, but this one has a religious freedom aspect in that this young daughter, 12 years old, is not being allowed by the father to attend church or other Christian events. And it's really a precarious situation. And I think that's why we got involved, because of the religious situation.
Absolutely. I mean, this order on its face is absolutely hostile toward Christianity. Every time the word God is mentioned, the judge in this case lowercased it every single time. That I've never seen. And anyone who has any common sense looks at this, understands when you capitalize God, that's for a specific supreme being. But when you lowercase God, that's for generic. That's like polytheism. It's the opposite of right. Emily Bickford's monotheistic Christian faith.
But on the other hand, I think it's sad the father is that angry about anything to do with God or religion or Christianity that he's preventing his daughter from being exposed to that.
Yeah, Ava is 12. She'll be turning 13 in January. Her mom is Emily Bickford, and they gave birth, Emily and Matthew Bradeen. Emily Bickford, Matthew Bradeen gave birth to Ava nearly 13 years ago. They never got married, but Emily had primary custody, and Matthew had visitation rights. And then when Ava wanted to get baptized, she mentioned it to her father, and he ran to court to stop it. Mm. And that's how this particular order came about. The judge in this case is formerly a president of the ACLU. She issued this order. It's the most outrageous, anti-Christian, hostile order I have ever seen. The mention that I just discussed about lowercasing God is obvious that it's hostile. It doesn't respect, in fact, it denigrates the faith of Emily Bickford. It denigrates not just her faith, but all of Christianity, all of Judaism.
But what about the daughter? You know, she's 12, almost 13. Does she not have any say in the situation?
Well, when she turns age 16 in Maine, she'll have a lot more say in her disposition, how she even maybe can choose one parent over the other. So that day is coming, but that's 3 years away, because she's not turning 13 until January. It actually says that Emily cannot take Ava to Calvary Chapel in Portland, Maine. They've been attending there from May of 2021 to December of 2024, 3.5, nearly 4 years. And then in December of 2024, this order was entered, and consequently, she had to totally disassociate with Calvary Chapel in Portland. That means her friends, her acquaintances, her mentors, her teachers, nothing. Couldn't be associated with them, couldn't watch any video, couldn't watch any thing that they produced. Nothing associated with Calvary Chapel, which includes the Bible. She can't be exposed to any literature. But in addition to that, it goes beyond Calvary Chapel. It says that the father, Matthew Bradeen, who obviously started all of this by himself lowercasing God in his original complaint, that Ava cannot associate with any of her church friends or any member of Calvary Chapel Portland. If Ava meets a new friend outside of Calvary and that person begins attending Calvary, Ava must cut ties with her friend. Ava cannot attend any Christmas, Easter, or any other Christian event or celebration at any church, including any wedding, funeral, or even hospital visits with anyone associated with Calvary Chapel or, frankly, any church. Ava cannot have any contact or participation with any religious organization, which also would include even the Salvation Army or a food bank, a homeless shelter, or a crisis pregnancy center. And Ava cannot read the Bible or religious literature or be exposed to any, quote, religious philosophy, close quote, whatever that is. So it is a breathtakingly broad order that goes far beyond Calvary Chapel. The amazing thing, on page 17 of this order, where all of these restrictions are listed, it actually has a sentence that there's been no evidence, no showing, that Ava has been harmed by any exposure to any teaching associated with the Bible. Yet, she has a total ban on exposure to the Bible. So no harm shown that she has been exposed to the Bible, but yet she can't read the Bible. She can't be exposed to the Bible, can't be exposed to any religious literature, can't be exposed to religious philosophy or any church. And so since December of 2024, Emily has not been able to take her daughter to any church or religious event. No Christmas celebration in December of 2024. No Christmas celebration in December of 2025. And the judge's order actually lists as though these are bad things that the pastor and the church, Calvary Chapel, teaches the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. They believe that the Bible is true. They teach from the Bible about angels and demons, salvation, the second coming, heaven and hell.
Yeah.
And all of those things can be psychologically harmful. But at the same time, she said there's no evidence that there's been any harm by having been exposed to anything associated with the Bible. So the order is contradictory, and it is a terrible order. And that's why we decided to get involved. She cannot, quote, associate or communicate with any member, close quote, of Calvary Chapel. Hmm. She can't associate with any person who's a member. It's almost like they're radioactive. There are court cases that say it is unconstitutional to totally prohibit a parent from taking their child to a church or a religious celebration or meeting or a congregation or assembly.
And I imagine you brought that up in court.
Yeah. And that's exactly what this court order does.
Mm.
And so, you know, when I argued the case, the one justice on the six justice bench didn't seem to be accepting the constitutional argument. But the other five justices, with the questions asked to opposing counsel, were very clear that they were concerned about the hostility of this court order. In fact, one of the justices said, the order talks about right and wrong, and that there's a problem with teaching someone about right and wrong as though that's a problem. But that's what the order suggests. And the judge says, now, if we go down that road to determine which one is teaching right and which one's teaching wrong, or which religion is acceptable and which religion is not, that is a problematic scenario that judges are not supposed to do. They're not supposed to get involved in saying this particular religion is okay and this particular religion is not okay.
Mm.
And that's in fact what happened here. This judge issued an order that literally jumps off the page with its hostility towards Christianity. It basically, it talks about how this church, Calvary Chapel, it starts off with Calvary Chapel, but it doesn't end there. So it starts off with Calvary Chapel because that's where the mom was attending, and that's where the girl wanted to get baptized after being a member there for 3.5 years. So it starts off with Calvary Chapel. But what it says about Calvary Chapel applies to all churches. Calvary Chapel teaches the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter, teaches about heaven, hell, salvation, second coming, and afterlife, that there's one way to salvation through Jesus Christ. I mean, that doesn't just apply to Calvary Chapel. That's across the board to Christianity. And then the judge also cites to a so-called expert, who's not really an expert, that the father brought in from California.
A sociology professor, I believe, right?
Yeah, and she says the church follows what she called the, quote, Moses model.
Yeah, so-called expert on cults.
Yeah, and they follow the Moses model. Well, it's like Moses model. Well, that's kind of an insult to Judaism and Christianity. Moses is a leading figure in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
There's a movie, you know, the Ten Commandments is based upon the Ten Commandments and Moses. So the Moses model is bad, that you have a strong leader who communicates God's word to the people. That's the Moses model, and that's bad. Well, there's a lot of churches and a lot of synagogues that would be offended at using that kind of terminology. This is absolutely outrageous. So pray for the case. It's Bickford versus Bradeen. We represent Emily Bickford and her daughter Ava in this case. I just argued it at the Maine Supreme Court. The court will come back with a decision. Pray that it's soon. Pray that it is a decisive victory under the First Amendment Free Exercise Clause. It is critically important that Emily have the right to be able to take her daughter to church again and to take her to Sunday school to teach and read the Bible with her daughter. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org.